Hello and welcome to the Holy Health Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch, and I want to welcome you to a spiritual awakening. I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast. We always like our supporters, and we thank you very much for being a part of this journey with us, because at the Holy Health Podcast, we talk about just general real-life things. None of the highlight reels or, you know, the super fancy things. It's just real life. And we talk about nutrition, physical activity, spirituality, religion, Christianity, our marriage, relationships, all different types of stuff, nature, biohacking. We get into everything. So if you like that stuff, stay tuned. And we might even get into talking about our dog. But the person that always joins me on the show is my wife, and she lives a holy health lifestyle with me. Amanda, how are you doing today?
I don't know. I don't know what to say to that question. I think I'm okay, I guess. We are here, we are recording, and that is good.
You're coping.
Yeah, I'm recovering.
Not trauma.
Yeah, not from an actual sickness this week, thankfully, finally.
It's about time.
We are both healthy as we sit here, but you were sick over the
weekend. Well, I wouldn't say I'm healthy currently, but...
Why? You don't feel good?
I'm definitely not 100% better.
Oh, okay. Well, I am.
I hide it better than you.
I'm not interested in hiding it. So, I am feeling better, and that is good, but... We had a little mishap last night, and it almost ended our marriage.
That's a little extreme.
I was very mad today. I was trying to think when I was, like, that mad at you prior to this circumstance, and I don't know.
You weren't that mad.
I was really mad. I seriously was. I was super mad. I was.
I couldn't tell.
I tried to hold it in. I was like, okay, be a nice person. You know, the whole thing, whatever. But I was very furious. It's probably half of the reason why I couldn't sleep.
So what did I do?
So last night, we had a very nice evening, I thought, till I knew that I was lied to. Because...
You're just setting it up in your favor, but go ahead.
Because, okay, so we ate dinner outside, and Lily was inside, and she just came in from playing ball, and she needs to relax before she can have her dinner, so we went outside to eat dinner, and then there were other things happening outside, and so we were, like, distracted with the outside world. Lily was freaking out. Because we were outside and she wasn't outside. So, well, first thing, I had some sweet potatoes and eggs, basically, on a plate pushed back on the counter. And she ate them. And she got in the garbage. And I noticed that when I came inside at one point. And I was like, oh, dang it. She ate my food. Like, I was really, like, annoyed. And she was in the garbage, the whole thing. So then we work it out, and we worked out outside, and we come in, and you get your flashlight out on your phone, and you're, like, looking in the cracks and crevices of the house, looking for what you claimed as eggshells, and I'm like, because there were eggshells in the garbage that Lily got, and I'm like, why are you looking for eggshells? Like, it was really weird. And then he lets me know that he had chicken bones that he put on the top of the full garbage that Lily got into, and they were nowhere to be seen. And that is the moment I lost my mind.
Small correction. One singular.
I don't care.
Chicken thigh bone.
I don't care.
Not even... as big as my index finger.
Dogs cannot eat cooked bones. Everybody knows this. This is not a secret.
I wouldn't say everybody knows it.
Everybody that I know knows it. How often
Do dogs eat cooked bones?
How often do we have meat bones and it's like, is the garbage full? Where are you putting those bones? Where are the bones? I'm like always hyper aware of the bone situation.
Yeah.
And he claims that he forgot.
I get home from work. I empty my lunch pail the same way every time I come home. I didn't think that this little tiny chicken bone was gonna do what it did.
Well, it did.
And the dog shouldn't be in the trash anyways.
But she, lately, she has been doing that. She was really good about not doing that until, like, pretty recently. And now she's doing it. I'm not sure why, but we know that she's been doing it. So
she's like a savage beast now.
So yes, she shouldn't be in the garbage, but we know that she gets in the garbage. So we need to take the precautions to keep her safe from things in the garbage. I was furious and stressed out, and I almost called the police to put in a claim of child endangerment. And
the police.
And I gave you a lecture for sure.
I was half listening.
Yeah, I could tell.
In these moments, I just let her be the way she is.
So I was mad the rest of the night. Then I'm stressed out. Then I'm on the internet looking up dogs eating chicken bones. And you get everything from your dog's going to die in 35 seconds to my dog ate 25 chicken bones once a week for 3 years and it was totally fine. So, yeah. And everything in between. So I get obsessive and stressed out. And I am obsessed and stressed out about this situation. And I'm just like, I can't do anything else other than this. I can't do anything else. I'm sitting with a book and I'm on my phone obsessing and scrolling and reading and watching. And so you fall asleep, as you do. And like, I'm like, I gotta do something. So I go find Lily and I'm like watching her like obsessively. I'm like, is she okay? I don't know. And I'm like staring at her. And then she acts weird because she knows like that I'm like, she can tell when I'm observing her obsessively.
She's like, get away from me, Mom. I'm trying to sleep.
Well, she wasn't sleeping at that point. So I'm like, I don't know if she's okay. I don't know what to do. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to go to sleep. So I put down two pillows and I got some blankets and I slept on pillows on the floor beside her bed because I was afraid she would throw up in the middle of the night. You don't want dogs who eat chicken bones to throw up because that can cause a lot of damage to their esophagus. So I was like, well, I need to know immediately if she throws up. And so I slept on the floor and it was terribly uncomfortable, but it made me feel a little less stressed, even though I was still stressed. And then today I was all stressed the whole day. Like, when I'm stressed, I scroll. I can't focus on anything, but I just, like, obsessively scroll. And I hate that, and I don't know how to stop it. I'm sure that I could just stop it, but, like, it's really hard to pull me out of that. So, yeah, that was my day.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of feeling better. I talked to the vet this afternoon. And they were pretty much like, she should be fine. So that kind of made me feel a little better. But
as long as somebody of authority says it.
I'm still freaking out. So they're like 72 hours. That's like the magic number. And so once we reach 72 hours, then I'll be like, okay, maybe we're okay. But until then, I've been freaking out.
Yeah.
So there's that.
valuable lesson here. In relationships. So, I think that maybe before, like in the beginning of our relationship, like if that were to happen, I could have maybe got like offensive and defensive and maybe got mad at you because you're mad and kind of like meet you where you were at and then the situation just kind of continues to escalate. But I didn't do that. And I probably kind of did the opposite, which I was like laughing about how you were yelling at me.
Yeah.
And I was trying really hard to hide it.
Yeah.
And I just
kept... And then I made... He kept laughing and he was drinking, so I made him choke on his drink.
I did almost die. I almost died.
I did do that on purpose. I was like, I'm going to make him choke right now.
Yeah.
I tried. Because he's not listening and he's not taking this very serious moment seriously.
Yeah. That was rough. That hurt. I like swallowed and then coughed and couldn't breathe. And I definitely inhaled water.
And I had no sympathy.
Yeah. So that's the lesson here.
That's relationships.
Yeah. So I think that it is important, though, when your spouse or girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, say, escalate in their emotions. Like, you are obviously frantic and chaotic feeling, and you were expressing that. So I basically just kind of let you express that, and I didn't, like, try to tell you to calm down or just relax or anything like that. I knew you were just going to be that way. And I just have to accept that this is how it's going to be for probably the next couple of days. And I can do my best to support and, you know, try to be a part of it in a way where it's like, I'm trying to at least show my concern too, like making sure that I'm involved in the situation, you know? Which was minimal effort on my end with that part, but I definitely was not meeting you in your level of hysteria.
No. Yeah.
Which I think is very important, and it kind of allowed you to express yourself, and then you were able to kind of plateau, so to speak, and now we're where we're at. You know, before I think it would have been much worse in our relationship. So I think we've made progress, and you know, I think that we probably wouldn't be sitting here right now, maybe like 6 months ago or a year ago, if this sort of happened.
Because we would be in a fight, and we would
be... Like I would have been mad at you because you got mad, and then now you're mad because I'm mad, and now I'm being a little baby, and you're mad because I'm being a baby, and then I'm mad because you're calling me a baby, and then it's just like continues.
Yeah. So to wrap this story up, you come home from work tonight and I'm like, where's the chicken bone? Because he has a chicken bone every day this week. It didn't even come home. So
that's right.
He better have learned his lesson.
Which I don't even know why I brought it home from the first place, because usually I just throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was like part of destiny. Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I needed this. Yeah,
you needed this situation.
For sure. I was too relaxed and too stress-free for too long.
Right. So, just something to keep you in check.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
Don't get too relaxed. Just... There's something right around the corner here for you.
Yeah, keep the stress and anxiety pumping. Yeah,
that's what I needed. The Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, the Matrix was feeling that you were getting disconnected too much. So, it was like, here's a dose of reality.
Yeah.
And now you're back in.
For sure. Yeah.
So welcome to the Matrix.
Thanks. It's not great to be here. What else is new?
What else is new with me? I have been really enjoying educational content, like science-y stuff. So I just got my anatomy book from college out of my car, because I have all of my stuff in my car still. Story for another time, maybe. Yeah, so I got that out of my car. And I've just been, like, reading research papers and stuff. And I used to do this a lot. Like, probably my senior year of college, I was doing a lot of research, like, independent research, just reading things for fun. Just because I liked learning stuff. I liked knowing what the research was talking about with, like, new up-and-coming stuff or... Just like evidence-based practice, pretty much. And one thing that I've been really diving into is caffeine. So I've learned a lot about caffeine recently. And I can talk about that if I want, or if we want to. But yeah, I grabbed my anatomy book, so I'm excited to get into that. Just to try to look things up that I haven't thought about in a while. And just flipping through that book. I love that book. That book's so cool. It's got so much stuff in it. And it's just like pure science. And I miss that part of me. I haven't been that way in a long time. I got away from it for years, I think. I would dabble in it a couple times here and there, but not enough to like really fill me up. I do think that this part of me is something that fills my cup. Like researching, learning, reading, developing my mind is something that fills my cup. And I think that it's an important thing for me to do and to have like some type of habitual routine with it. And I think that's kind of what I'm working out right now, is how can I create a habit of reading research papers, which sounds super boring for probably most people. But for me, as long as it's like the right thing that I'm interested in, I'm going for it. You know, I think that's anything too. Like if I'm interested in something, I'm going to love it. And I'm going to love it for a period of time at least, until I learn as much as I want. And then I might move on from it. But as long as I'm interested, I'll learn it. But like school, for example, a lot of stuff I wasn't interested in school. But stuff that I was interested in, I did really well. And I didn't even have to really try that hard. I could just actually pay attention. And if I can pay attention to something that I'm interested in for long enough, I learn things very quickly. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at, I guess.
That's cool. Yeah, I have also been reading a lot lately, but in such a very different way.
Yeah, you have been. There's always a stack of books on the nightstand, and she complains to me all the time, why are those shorts on the floor? I'm like, I don't know, maybe because I'm going to wear them soon, or like I'm going to wear them tomorrow. She's like, why is there folded underwear and socks stacked up neatly on the dresser? I'm like, I'm setting my clothes out to like wear later. And then there's like just a stack of books all over the nightstand right beside everything. You can't even set your phone on it or anything on the nightstand because there's so many books on it.
There's 5 books on the nightstand and one of them is yours right now.
Only because I organize books.
I think anybody will agree with me that books on the nightstand compared to clothing laying on the floor or on a dresser or something, that's totally different.
I don't know. I would say that it's similar.
I don't think so. Anyways, so books.
Yeah, tell us about your books. Give us a book update because you've been reading a ton of books.
I don't remember when the last time I updated on books, so I don't know where to start. But I did read The 7 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Did I mention that on here? I'm not sure, but I'm going to mention it again if I did. By Taylor Jenkins Reid. And I loved that book. It was really good. It was super easy read. Just like a very, I don't know, casual fiction type of thing. Definitely recommend that one. I read this book in like 2 days. It's a pretty big one too. Fate Inked in Blood. I read that so quickly. I loved it so much. So there's going to be at least another book of that. So this is book number 1. Book number 2 is not written yet, but that's by Danielle Jensen. And love. So good. Mother Hunger. That was a really good one. Definitely like that one. That was by Kelly McDaniel. And then we talked about Carl Lentz on a couple of episodes ago. And so he wrote a book back in the day. And I was like, I'm going to go back and reread that because I already read that book. And I really enjoyed the reread. It was good. And I don't know, it's a pretty easy read. And there's just a lot of tangible takeaways from that book. And
like what?
Just like, I mean, the book's called Own the Moment. And then he basically goes through different ways that you can like own the moments in your life.
What do you think about Carl Lentz?
What do I think about him? speaking of to Carl Lentz, we are watching the Hillsong documentary on Hulu right now. So I want to watch that all before I have a formal opinion. But before we watch it all, I guess I would say, I don't know, I have compassion for him. And I wouldn't demonize him. I would like to know more of his story and his process and like where he's at now and his marriage and all of the things. Tell me more. But I think he's a very, I don't know, real guy, I guess. And that doesn't really make sense because for so long he was hiding a lot of things. But I think he has really taken time over the past couple of years to look at himself in the mirror and become a real person. And I think it's like, so everything that he said prior to like the reveal of his infidelity, I think there's still truth to it. So it's not like, oh, everything he said was a lie, let's throw it all away. But yeah, I don't know. I would talk to the guy. I'd be his friend.
Yeah, I would too. I think that'd be awesome.
Tell me what's up.
I think he's a special person.
He definitely has.
He has the it. Yeah, the it factor that people wonder about. He had it. He still has it.
Yeah, it's there for sure.
So, you know, to be able to put on. Was he doing 7 sermons? Or was Hillsong doing 7? Like, was he doing the 7?
I don't know for sure.
Or would he, like, alternate? Because I can't imagine you can come out with that much energy and passion every single time.
I don't know for sure.
7 in a row? That's insane.
That's a lot. I mean,
for 150,000 people or something each time?
Where did he... He talked about it somewhere where he would be, like, so drained after, like, preaching. Was that on the show or did I read that somewhere
else? You probably read it.
I think I might have read it in the book. Where, like, Mondays he would be, like, a vegetable, basically. Because he put out so much energy during his Sunday sermons.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely... Yeah, he definitely
has... His messages are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he can speak so well.
For sure.
And that is such a gift. And I think at the very least you could say that some of the messages were, like, coming from a place of hypocrisy. But that doesn't mean that they weren't true. You know what I mean? Like, because he was saying it, and later on, you know, after the fact, you learn that, oh, you know, he was talking about marriage all the time. And, you know, we see how that turned out. But the message was still good.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know at what point he was having an affairs compared to when he was preaching so much about marriage. Like, I don't know the timelines or anything like that, but like, he definitely had the message. And I would say that those messages in those moments helped a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he was not walking the walk, but I think
he was talking the talk
for sure. But I think so many people go through that where they're not walking the walk and they're only talking the talk. And then they get to this rock bottom space and they're like, whoa, how did I get here? And then it's like you go through this chrysalis of transformation and you come out. What?
Chrysalis.
I used that in my Substack the other day. That's where it came from.
Whoa.
But you go through this chrysalis of transformation and you come out and you're like, now I'm walking the walk and now I'm talking the talk. Because yeah. I went through the fire.
I feel like I definitely been there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
you were talking the talk, but you weren't walking the walk.
Right. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah.
I can think, which ways are you thinking that you have been there?
Like talking the talk and not walking the
yeah,
walk?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say with, like, healthy habits.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, so, like, I'm a health guru, but yet behind the scenes, I'm
smoking big bowls,
smoking weed, eating lots of pizza, deep fried chicken wings, French fries, like eating whatever I want and displaying that this is what I eat, because I would still eat healthy, but I would only display the healthy meals that I was eating, not the junk food or the marijuana or the alcohol or whatever. But I would still, you know, display that, oh, well, I'm healthy. You know, I only do healthy things.
Live a healthy lifestyle like me.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely not in tune with my integrity.
Yeah. And then you, I mean, would you say you hit a rock bottom and then you went through that chrysalis? Or, like, what would you say?
Oh, yeah. That the distrust that you create from not being true to yourself, which is maintaining your integrity of, like, who you dream to be, then you slowly start to erode your own path of truth. And you, like, just continue to veer down and down and down and down. Eventually, you get to a point where you're like, how did I get here? And you could probably go all the way. You could take a super small choice that you might have made, like taking your first hit or drinking your first beer or whatever it was when you were a kid in high school that you knew that you shouldn't have done something, but you did it anyways. And it didn't align with your spirit, with your divine self. And you were like, I'm going against my inner self. And I'm going to sabotage myself because I want to. Because I think it's going to be fun. And you do it anyways and you don't feel good about it. You feel guilty and shameful about what you did. But you don't really care now because you did it. And you can't trust yourself anymore. And then that distrust is what continues you to go down that off path. Like to a place that you... There's no other destination than rock bottom or something close to it. Some pivotal moment, we'll say. There's no other path. When you distrust yourself so much, there's no other path than eventually leading you to a massive pivotal moment.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, we all go through those pivotal moments. And I think the difference with Carl Lentz and his wife was that they had to do it very publicly.
Mm.
And then they get all of these quote-unquote Christians judging them, judging the circumstance, and what they, the headlines that they see, and just like full-on attacking. And yes, there were some people who supported them and whatever, I'm sure. But for the most part, they went through a very tough rock bottom transformational period very publicly that affected like their family, their entire family. And I think that that's the major like difference between us regular people, regular everyday people, and somebody as big as they are. And yeah, it's just so interesting how we as regular people are so quick to judge the people in the public eye for these things that they do and the things that happen. But there's most likely something that has happened in our lives or that we did that is in a similar camp that is, but nobody knows about it, or like only a few people know about it, or whatever it is. Like it's a very small scale thing compared to what they went through.
Yeah. And like those people that are in like the high positions of society, we set them up on like this pedestal that like, oh, they're larger than life. You know, Carl Lentz has this larger than life personality, and it's like, well, he's like a superhuman, you know, he's not gonna fall from God. You know, he's not gonna make bad choices like that. But it's, if anything, it's like a realization that we're all human. Like, we all are the same to a degree. We all mess up. We all make the same mistakes. And we're all just as easily right on the edge of making the worst decision of our lives. Like, we're all right there. Like, we could all do that at any time. Like, if we have the right situation, the right temptations that are put in front of us for the right reasons at the right time, it could happen to anybody, you know? So I think grace is really important. Forgiveness is really important. And like somebody like in Carl's position, I mean, like you were saying, the magnitude of that is just, that would make it so much harder, and it's so much more honorable that they're sticking together as a family. Like, they're working things out.
For sure. I mean, can you imagine going through your rock bottom moments publicly?
No.
Like, seriously, can you imagine?
That would be horrible.
Like,
I wouldn't want to show my face anywhere.
Right? I mean, I just can't even imagine, like, going through that just because of all of the judgments that would come your way. I mean, even on the small scale, you very clearly have the judgments that come from people in your circle, depending on who's in your circle. And I would say if they're, like, super judgy-wudgy, then they should not be in your circle. But generally speaking, like, you already have enough that you're handling, like, within yourself in those moments, but that just exacerbates the circumstance so much more. And, like, a lot of, like, most people can't say, like, oh yeah, I went through my rock bottom moment and the world was watching, or the world found out about it, or whatever. And so it's like, well, I'm not here to judge that, because first of all, you don't know the whole truth. We only see headlines, or we only can make assumptions, and you just don't know. Second of all, it's really none of our business to know the truth unless it involves us directly. And third of all, I think you have to come at it with a space of non-judgment and holding space for those people, because hurt people hurt people. And people make mistakes, and, like, things happen. And if you can't see that and hold that space and accept that, then I don't know. I mean, I think that just causes further division and problems.
Yeah, I mean, I've had such an eye-opening, I've had, my eyes have been open to forgiveness and grace towards others for their shortcomings and failures.
For what reason?
Because I have failed so much.
Yeah.
And, like, I have fallen so short from the grace of God and just myself in general and other people and everything, that now that I can see that and felt that, and I've been through that, like, I totally, like, bro, Carl, like, it's all good, bro. Like, you know, I don't have anything towards him. Like,
for
I totally,
sure.
Like, I totally forgive the guy. Like, I don't hold anything against him for his mistakes, because as a guy like him, I'm sure if I was in his shoes, I would have done the same thing. You know, and that's kind of where I put myself a lot is, you know, if I hear something of this magnitude or whatever, something similar, I'm like, I probably would have done the same thing, because I have done things that are not good, you know? So it's like, it just gives you perspective on life and other people, because I still am very judgmental. I think that's like a toxic trait that has been established into me.
Oh yeah, where'd you get that from?
I don't know. I've been consciously working on that for years now, it seems, but it just still just hangs on to me so much. But I definitely have a better perspective on it now because of what I just said about. So whenever I start to judge people for something, I'm like, wait, dude, like, where's the mirror at again? Like, you remember how you are? Yeah, okay. So do your thing. It's like, let them live their life and you can live yours.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think people in a rock bottom situation, which, I mean, he's, I don't think, I'm sure they're still healing from it, but, like, this happened in 2020, so it's been a couple of years. But, four. Yeah, 4 years.
Like October. October will be 4 years for them.
Okay. So, I'm sure they're still healing from it, but it's like, I think what people who really make those big mistakes or and are in those rock bottom spaces need are people to give them space and to listen to them and actually care. Like, because I think a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't want to get too close to that. That makes me feel uncomfortable. That's a little ugly. That's a little whatever. Like, I gotta back away. And if you can be somebody who's like, I don't care if I'm going to come over here and sit in the mud puddle with you, that's fine. I don't care if my clothes get muddy. Like, what's up? How's it going over here in this mud puddle? Type of thing.
It's dirty.
But judgment is such an interesting thing. I don't know. It's just such an, it's so curious to me. Judgment. And like, I judge too in certain ways, but like, I don't know. In big ways, I try really to not be too judgmental, but it's just such an interesting human trait.
Mm-hmm.
And just how we all display it and experience it so differently.
I think the judgment that we're talking about, it's not the decisions that we make, because we all judge things all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you walk into a room and you're like, ew, I don't like that paint color. Like, you're always, like, thinking these things, even subconsciously. It's like, oh my god, I love her shoes. Or it's like, oh, that pizza didn't taste that good. Like, those are all judgments. And that's totally, that's what we do. It's totally normal.
Yeah, it's like, you have to make judgment calls about your life. So you have to judge situations on, you know, what do you think you would do? Or what do you think's right? What do you think's wrong? Okay, I'm going to go with something that I think's somewhere in the middle or whatever. So we're always making judgments, right? So I think the word, we get hung up on the word a lot. And I think that the word has a lot of different meaning to it. It's a very deep word. And I think that it has some stigma to it, like whenever someone says, well, you're just being judgmental. Like, yeah, I am, because I am always judgmental. But I think what we're speaking about is when, you know, other people are casting their judgments towards others, it's coming from a place of, well, I would have never done that. Yeah. Or if I was in your situation, I would have done a way better job. Or like, it's like such a self-righteous mm-hmm. positioning
yeah.
that you are asserting your what you think you would have done better in the situation towards that person. Mm-hmm. Or like, I'm right and my opinion is the truth and yours isn't. So whenever I speak to you about this, I'm speaking from authority to you about whatever it is, and that's going to come off as like, well, you're judging me. Well, yeah, I am, because you're wrong and I'm right. So deal with it, you know? But that's like, that's such a self-righteous position to think that I am always right and I am great with everything, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think the negative judgment is. Like, when we think of the word judgment, like, oh, you're judging me. I think that's kind of what we're thinking about. Somebody in a self-righteous position is asserting their ego towards another person.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, that is a better, way better description. And I definitely agree that that's definitely a thing. I don't know, I just have a hard time, like, getting there. And, like,
yeah,
understanding, like, from that place, like, doing that. Like, if you came to me and you said, I don't know, some crazy thing, and, like, my reaction is like, oh, okay. Like, not like, what are you talking? Like, ew. Like, I would never have done that. Except for the chicken bone. I would not have done that. But for a big thing, that's not a chicken bone. I just have a really hard time getting there and, like understanding where that person is coming from, which then I guess has me, I don't think I'm judging them necessarily, but I'm more like, I'm just not able to understand, like, why would you be like that? Like, where is the compassion and where is the grace and where is the forgiveness? Like, especially with Christians, like, I think it's so interesting because Christians are, like, really quick to judge in those ways. And I'm like, but wait, isn't that what you're, like, not supposed to be doing? Like, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, judge. How you judge other people is exactly how you will be judged. So the same measure that you use against others is the same measure that God will use against you.
Yeah.
So if you're holding people to a higher standard than yourself and you don't live up to that standard, that's not a good equation. Whenever you go, when you come to the mathematician of God, he's going to be like, hey man, you're wrong. So bad news bears. It's just like basically what I just said, you know, Christians especially, because obviously as a Christian, we think that the Bible is the truth. And, you know, I believe that the Bible is true, obviously. And we think that anybody that has a different view is completely wrong, and it's our job to tell them that they're wrong. And that is not the way to be, especially as a Christian, you know?
Where does that come from? Like, okay, so say you go to somebody and you tell them your deepest, darkest, secret, mistake, rock bottom thing. And they, as a Christian, judge you. And can't believe it and blame you for things and just, like, completely, like, react in a very, what I would say would be, like, a non-Christian, non-loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does that come from? Why is that so, like, is it really that popular in Christianity, or am I just, like, do I just see it all the time?
I think in Christianity it's hyper-focused because Christians get viewed through a very specific lens from the public, from the outside world. Anybody that's not a Christian magnifies anything that a Christian does. So it looks way worse and sounds way worse because a Christian's doing it. But I think we all judge. Like, we're all very judgmental, and I think certain people are just raised to be judgmental.
It's passed down for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know if there's like any psychologists out there that know the research of like why somebody grows up to be judgmental more so than somebody else. Like how this child was raised could maybe influence them to be a very judgmental adult person. A theory that I'm thinking of just now is like as a child, you didn't get enough love and attention or whatever. So you were people pleasing and you were seeking the validation from other people all the time. And you want to feel so accepted, recognized, and loved because of your effort towards other people all the time. So because of that, anytime somebody does something that maybe you wouldn't have done, like, since you're always trying to please everybody all the time, you want everybody to see you as like the best version, like of whatever you want everybody to see you as perfect. So if somebody does something that you think, well, I would never do that because then people wouldn't think that I'm perfect. And then you judge them because you're like, well, I would have done that differently. You know, if that was me, I would have looked way better because I want people to recognize me as something that's amazing or good or whatever. You know what I mean?
I would say so.
Just a theory. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speaking out of my tushy with that.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense to me. I don't know. It's interesting. It's like, okay, would you rather go into a room of Christians and share rock bottom moments? Or would you rather go into a room of, I don't know, hipsters and share your moments?
I would probably pick the Christians.
Really?
Yeah, the hipsters are a different breed. I'm not about the hipster life. Like, I don't... There's nothing about it. Sorry if you're a hipster, but like...
I didn't know what else to pick. I don't know. Cool.
I guess... I would say... I mean, I've shared some things with Christians, but they've also shared things with me, too. So, like, they created that openness first. And I was like, oh, they've shared that with me, so I think I could be comfortable enough to share it with them. And, yeah, I still think that this conversation is kind of like alluding to the people that have never really done anything in their lives.
Yeah, we talked about those type of people on a couple episodes back. Yeah.
So, like, nothing bad. Like, what's the worst thing that happened to you? Or that the worst thing that you did? Like, oh, worst thing I did, I remember I stole a pack of gum from the grocery store. I came home and my parents made me go back.
And I was 8 years old.
Yeah, that's like the worst thing that happened to you. Or like, the worst thing that happened to me was my dog died of old age. And I love the dog so much. Like, yeah, that sucks, but there's a lot of things that are a lot worse than that. Or like, the worst thing that I ever did was I went to a party one time and I came home after curfew and my parents were mad. Like, I don't know. Just like really stupid examples that's like the worst. If that's the worst...
That's it? That's all you got?
Then, of course you're going to be judgmental because you're like perfect compared to other people.
But are you, or are you just hiding things that you don't want anybody to know? Because I think it's most of the time that.
Yeah. I mean, we all have things that we're not proud of. And I think some people do a better job at hiding it than others.
Yeah.
Some people bury those things down so far that they forget they even did it.
For sure.
And they never really address it. It's one thing to like bring it up and then kind of like move on from it and like heal that wound compared to like forgetting the wound. Because the wound's still there, you just forgot it was there. Compared to I see the wound, I'm healing the wound, but now I see the scar.
Did you forget your wounds?
Yeah.
You forgot them?
Well, I would say they might be, like, open still.
No, I mean, like, prior to addressing them, did you forget them?
That's what I don't know.
Okay.
I think that I thought that they didn't matter as much. I thought that I moved on. I thought that they didn't bother me. I thought that I healed, right? But in reality, I think I just buried it so deep and I wanted to forget about it that I just like tucked it away and hid it so I didn't ever see it. Out of sight, out of mind, you know? So maybe like with the wound analogy, I covered it up so that I said it was ignored.
Slapped a Band-Aid on her.
Yeah, but it was still open and it wasn't healed.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I would say that's probably a lot of circumstances.
Yeah.
Do you think you became less judgmental after you began to heal those wounds? Or was that happening prior?
It was starting before that, but it kind of came to an explosion head 2020. Like, at the moment of complete and utter failure was when it happened.
That's when you stopped judging people?
Yeah, that's whenever my eyes were truly opened to a new world of like, wow. Like, people can make really big mistakes really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, because before I was going through like an identity crisis, so I was like trying to figure out life and what I was doing and who I was and just complex thought, I guess. So I was self-aware of how judgmental I was. I just didn't really understand anything about it, I guess. Like, I was aware that, you know, maybe because my body image isn't the best, I'm judging other people based on their body image, you know? So, like, I knew there was, like, some type of connection happening, and I was, like, working on it, but I wasn't figuring anything out until, boom, you know?
Yeah.
The volcano erupted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the rock bottom moments, if you handle them properly, they become the best thing that ever happened for you. It's like, that was the worst thing I ever did or the worst thing I ever experienced. And that was the best thing I ever experienced. I mean, that was kind of, I mean, this is totally different circumstance than what you're talking about for you personally. But like for me, I had the end of 2020. That's really interesting. Yours was the beginning of 2020. And then the end of 2020, beginning of 2021 for me, I had the mold rock bottom, which was a totally different thing. But there were so many layers and things involved with that, that was like absolutely horrible. But coming out on the other side, I was like, thank God that happened. That was like the best thing. The best things came from that horrible circumstance.
Yeah, you can go back and look at where exactly did my life become better. And it was immediately after the darkest point.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, I think a lot of people get stuck in, like, they just throw the Band-Aid on, or they pretend it never happens, or pretend it never happened, or whatever in that realm of things. They're in denial of needing to look in the mirror. And I think that is when you get stuck in those judgmental ways. And if you're able to walk through the fire of the rock bottom and like build your house again, then I think you have to come out on the other side with more compassion for other people and their decisions.
Yeah, and I think there's a strange component to this that's like, once you actually share it with somebody else, then it becomes known to another person, and it almost like allows this weird like blossoming to start to happen. Because like for me, like a lot of my childhood stuff, like I never got any answers to the questions that I had about it. And I always just thought that, you know, how could an innocent child, you know, do those things? And like, I just felt so unloved and like so miserable about those things that I just always just basically forgot that I did it. And like, I didn't want anything to do with that memory. So I just pretended that it never happened. And then later in life, it's like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? And I never got the answers. Like, I could never get the answers to the question. And I think, you know, once I shared it with you, somebody who was a third party outside of the situation, it allowed that, like, that innocence within me to blossom again and to, like, I don't even know, like, how to explain what I'm trying to say.
I think there's, so I kind of look at it as, like, energy. So I think the thing that you hold on to from your childhood or whenever it is, whatever the shame is, it's an energy within you. And the literal vibration and expression through your words shared with another person is like an exorcism of holding that in. And once you kind of release that, then you're able to like blossom. Like you bring, you're able to shine the light on the darkness. The darkness is coming out of you and it is hitting the light shared between you and that other person in that space. And then it's able to blossom into something beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that.
Yeah. Because it definitely felt like I was unlocking something that I had deep in a vault that, you know, I've never been able to get out, you know? And like once you unlock it, now it's like out there. So now it's like, I have to figure this thing out now. Like now that I am an adult, now that I have the ability to have complex thought and reflect and work on things and like seek answers, seek information, I can figure this thing out, you know? And I think that's pretty much what it was. And I think that's super important. I think that's probably one of the most underlooked aspects of it is sharing the thing with people and unstucking that.
For sure. Yeah, it's super, it's a super powerful experience. But, and you have to make sure you share it with the right people.
Oh yeah, you cannot share that with people that you don't trust.
That is crucial.
You have especially to, in the beginning.
You have to 100,000% trust the person, people you're sharing that with.
Yeah, once you get to the point where you're like totally 100% comfortable with it, you don't care who knows. And you can just tell anybody.
Yeah.
But that takes a while. Yeah. I'm still not there yet.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, and I mean, it's not a race. It's not like something that you have to like reach like an end point of like, I'm there. I can share all my things now with anybody. Like some things might not need to be shared. Like, who knows? But I think...
Yeah, not everybody has to know everything about you.
Yeah. But I think having people that you can share with or a person is really important. But you have to be able to trust them because, I don't know, I think it comes back to the judgmental piece of like you don't want them to be throwing that in your face or to be blaming you for whatever or to create some types of stories around the thing that you shared with them.
Yeah. Just so interesting how we can easily think that we're so perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like, we just can easily get on this self-righteous stool of, like, our ivory towers, right? And we literally think that, well, I haven't done anything bad.
I would never do what Carl Lentz did. Oh my God. It's like, well, maybe you wouldn't do that exact thing, but I'm sure you did something else, or you could, you have the potential to do something else down the line that's on a similar level.
Yeah. And I don't know, just to reiterate, nobody's perfect. Nobody's even close to it. And like I said earlier too, we're all one decision away from having a royal fuck up.
That sounds so terribly negative.
It's true.
Do you think like that, like, throughout your life? Like, do you think, like, up, like, this, that could be the decision. That could be it. Do you think about this?
I don't think so.
No?
I think it's just a perspective.
Yeah, it's like, true, for sure.
Like, I'm not like, oh, I could fuck up at any moment. No, I don't think like that. But it's just the realization that, like, I've done it before.
Yeah.
And it was one decision.
Yeah, I mean, you get to a, like, you, there's an unfolding of events, and then there's, you're faced with one choice, and you can go down this road, or you can go down that road. And it's very easy to pick either road.
Yeah, if, like I said, if you're in a position, everything's perfect for this temptation that's right in front of you, and it's the thing that is your temptation, you know, like, it's your thing that you are most tempted by. It's right in front of you, and it's like, yes or no, and everything's been perfect. Chances are you're probably going to say yes, like, unless you've already established that you're not going to do that, or you've done it before and you've learned to not do that thing. But most of the time, when people are tempted with the thing that they are most tempted by, they give in. Like, we give in to our temptations. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, you know, keep me from my temptations, protect me from my temptation, deliver me from evil, right? That's like a huge part of spiritual warfare, in my opinion, is to always be praying for protection and deliver me from these temptations, deliver me from evil. Like, give me spiritual protection, because that's something that I cannot do on my own. I need somebody, I need God to protect me spiritually from these other things. That's my perspective, at least, about it. Like the whole spiritual thing. I'm sure you have a different one, but it's just those. It's so easy to make that choice, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think, speaking of temptations, I think it's a really important thing to, like, know what those are for you, so that you can be aware of them, so that you can know when to bring in your spiritual toolkit of protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's oftentimes your worst habits, you know, things that you wish that you could change about yourself. That's usually what your temptations are.
Yeah, but oftentimes, especially the people in the realm of, like, overly judgmental, like, perfectionistic, like, putting on this persona of, like, the perfect person, they're not looking in the mirror and, like, being honest with themselves about what their temptations are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could be, but they're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So it's like, they're aware. It's almost worse than not knowing.
Yeah, I mean, you were probably aware of your temptations when you were tempted, but you weren't in a space of self-awareness and really understanding that at that moment to make another choice.
I didn't understand how my bad habits could lead me down that path.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't making the connection that, okay, these things become a part of who I am. You know, this is how I see the world because of these bad habits. So I never made the connection that this is becoming my perceptions of the world. So then when those temptations come to you, it's like, oh, this is how I perceive the world already. Like, this is everything has led to this moment, pretty much, based off of my perception. So it just aligns you with your greatest temptation.
For sure.
And you don't even know it.
Yeah. It's all connected.
Anybody can fall off of whatever.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to practice non-judgment.
Which is very hard to do.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a hard time. But I am getting better.
For sure. And you'll never like reach like the place where like I am not judgmental anymore.
I am not judgmental about anything ever at all.
I have made it. Check off the box.
That is what we want, though, as humans. Like, for some reason, we want to be able to, like, reach this point where it's like, okay, I'm here now, and I never have to work out again. Or like, okay, I'm here now, and I no longer have to eat chicken, rice, and broccoli for every meal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we want to get to a position where it's like, okay, I did all the work and I did everything I needed to do and now I'm here and I don't have to do anything that I was just doing. Yeah. And I can just do...
Back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
nope, this is your new normal.
That's not how things work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be a different person, you have to do different things.
For sure.
To become that different person. You can't, like, do different things to be the different person and then go back to doing the old things that you were doing as a different person. And then you could just, like, regress back to before.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, that applies to a lot of other things in life.
For sure, yeah. I definitely agree. I mean, I'm not looking to be completely non-judgmental anytime soon. I love to judge certain things. I do. But when it comes to the big things, I would say
I think relationships, you're really good at, like, not... Put it like casting your judgment towards other people in your life,
yeah, you
know, that you like care about and just like in general, like more like political opinions, for example,
mm-hmm.
Like you're very like not judgmental, like not my life, not my business is like your slogan.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a t-shirt.
I think it's good. I mean, that's a good like statement to say and to believe in, because. A lot of times we do think that other people's business is our business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, part of the judgment piece as well.
For sure.
So, to separate yourself from that is probably why you're not very judgmental.
Yeah, I mean, not my life, not my business. But if you want to come to me and talk to me about serious things, then I can listen and I will not act shocked or surprised or grossed out or whatever it is by whatever you tell me. But I might be judging your shoes, so... That's that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be perfect. It's like, yeah, I'm going to judge, like, and not like in a mean, like, ew, like, that's so gross. I'm just like judging your shoes or your whatever, your outfit or whatever it is. But in general, I would say, like, I really try to bring awareness to judgment. I think it's really important. And it's something that I've been, I don't know, practicing for a long time. So.
So what other books have you been reading?
So I read... Okay, let me get it back up here. Okay, I read this book in like a day and a half. It's called The Swimmers by Julie Otsuka.
Sounds really dumb. Well, from what you told me about it, it sounds really dumb.
Okay, well, this book on Goodreads has 3.68 stars. And it seems like people either think it's the best book in the entire world or they hate it. So, like, one Hannah from Goodreads says, I think I maybe just read a 200-page limerick, ? And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's just like, I don't understand. I understand, but I think this is really stupid, and this is not my vibe. So I did not like that book. Sorry, Julie Otsuka. But it wasn't for me. And I think that's so interesting and, like, really important, too. Like... So you write a book or you, I don't know, make t-shirts or you paint or you create a workout program. You create some type of thing where you really put your heart and soul into this thing and you put it out into the world. And it's like you have to be okay with the judgments from other people on that work that is publicly out there. Because like I always come back to Harry Potter because we know it's the best book series in the entire world. So... I obviously love Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah, I know.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. There are people out there that have read Harry Potter. I don't know many of them, but they have read Harry Potter and they don't like it. And you have to have read it to have an opinion. We've talked about this before too. You have to have read it.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
And you can't watch the movies, that doesn't count. But any big books, like people loved and hated Twilight. They loved and hated The Hunger Games. They loved and hated the swimmer's book. Like, people love and hate.
You're always going to have haters.
Every piece of art out there. And so I think that to an extent, because we talked a lot about like being judgmental, but receiving those judgments, you have to be able to have a strong enough wall so that when those judgments come, especially on something that you've like worked on and like put your heart into, like you're able to handle that or reflect that back off of you or process it in a really healthy way. So I think that's a good thing to note as well.
Yeah, isn't that like the creative process of like realizing that whatever you create, it's not for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, once it's out in the world, it's like not yours anymore. You're like releasing it to the public. It's like, you were mine while I worked on you and now you're gone type of thing. But I think, yeah, like receiving those judgments externally on whatever it is, a book or a creative thing or something that you've done that people have found out about or whatever. It's like you have to be able to really be strong in your
self-belief.
Yeah. And like know, like I have my people, like my close people on my side and they like get it and they're here and everybody else and everything else is kind of like what it is. And one more book I just started. It's called, what is it called? Gothicana?
Yeah.
A Tale of Dark Romance.
Mm.
So I'm like 12 pages in, so I can't speak to this book, but I'll probably have it finished by next week. So I will let you know how this is next week. I've really never read something like this before, I don't think. So I'm really excited to read that one. We went to the library the other day and I got too many books. So I have 3 big books here that I
gotta
work through. I know. Libraries are so underutilized, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, we were in there on a Saturday, and there was, like, nobody.
We should normalize and popularize going to the library.
Yeah. I don't know why people don't. It's a free service.
Yeah.
And depending on what library it is, they have so many other things than, like, they have events and stuff that you can go to that are free, too. Like, you should definitely check.
So many
check.
Old books. You could spend hours in a library.
Oh,
you don't have, you not know what you want to do like on a weekend or something. Go spend 5 hours in the library.
For sure. And this one that we went to is pretty small. But if we went to like a bigger one, I don't even know what I would do with myself. Like Carnegie or Schlo. Like,
I mean, they're open for people to use.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So PSA, check out your library, support your local library. I feel like such a, I don't know.
Couples that go to the library together stay together.
That's right, yeah.
I heard that once.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
It was on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we're going to make it then. No matter what black magic people throw our way, we're going to make it.
Hashtag library dates.
Yeah. I am all for that. So those are the books that I'm reading currently. That has been, we started with the library books and now we're ending.
Yeah.
I
just wanted to make sure after the whole conversation that we actually ended
with
all
books.
Of your book talks.
Yeah.
And just like making sure we got that taken care of.
For sure. I took a pause on the Bible because I got to Psalms and I hit a wall. And I was like, this, I don't know how I'm going to get through this.
You're supposed to sing them.
There's like 45 pages of songs.
You sing them
and
all.
Not my favorite songs.
You're supposed to dance and sing.
I'll have to get Gerard Way to sing them for me. Maybe I can send in a special request. The singer of My Chemical Romance.
Oh.
I'll send an email and see if he'll do that for me. That would be interesting. That'd be crazy.
I wonder if they are actually all songs, you know?
I mean, I don't know how you would sing some of them. They seem pretty weird.
Yeah, I don't think they're songs.
Maybe we can sing them together.
I think it's more podcast. like a song of your heart, you know, like your like a poem.
Yeah, like what is it? Psalm 23, is that what it is? The one that everybody memorizes? Like imagine singing that. That doesn't, like, what are we singing to? Like drums? Like what?
Well, that's what We Are Messengers sing.
They sing that?
Yeah.
Huh.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yeah.
Leads me to still waters.
Yeah, they sing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't listen to the Jesus jams.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's part of the song.
Cool.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
I was going to sing it, but I can't.
You're not there yet.
I can't let that much talent out.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to build that up.
Slow drip.
So, yeah, slow dripping out my talent. Because if I just... I don't think people could handle the voice.
No way.
So.
We need to give them a heads up at least 2 weeks in advance so they can get ready.
So, maybe next time.
Probably not. Yeah, we have a Jesus concert coming up, so maybe you can give us a little recap jam afterwards.
Yeah. I'll practice my Brandon Lake songs.
Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah.
Gratitude coming at you. I'll get all the who's and hums too.
Perfect.
I won't miss those.
Cool. Is that it? Do you have any closing remarks about Judgment and library books?
Make sure you go to your local library. You know? Closing remarks. I don't really have any. I think we said a lot of good things when it comes to Judgment and that whole conversation. I thought that was really good.
Here, closing question. How do you handle judgment from other people? About personal things that hit you personally, like things you care about, or things that are like tender.
I think that I've done a lot of work around the things that I've talked about on here. So if somebody would, you know, make jokes about it or like say something to me about it, I really don't think that I would have like a big problem with it. I think it would just be like, if somebody is using it against me, like trying to use it against me, throwing it in my face and like continuing to try to shame and guilt me about the shame and guilt that I have already dealt with and that I carry, then I would probably not be happy with that person and I wouldn't want to be around that person very much. So then it would be more of like a recognition within myself of, hey, that person's not good for you.
Kind of like using it as a gift of like, okay, now you've revealed your true colors to me, so now I know what type of relationship I am going to have with you.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of getting butthurt about it and wanting to have a relationship with the person and feeling the shame and guilt in a way that's like, oh, I really wish that person would like me more, but they don't, and I'm just really upset that they would say that about me, and why would they do that, and blah, blah, blah. It's more like, nah, if you're gonna do that, then we can't be friends. Like, we can't have a relationship because it's just not gonna work. Like, it's just not gonna work.
Yeah, you're not my people.
Yeah, so instead of getting butthurt about it, it's just more of like a slap in the face of like, hey, wake up, dude. Like, that's not your friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So that's kind of where I'm at. But I would say I would probably still get butthurt.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think that's normal.
But I'd move on.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't take very long. I might like talk to you about it for a day, like get it off my chest. And then I'd be over it in less than a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because you talk about it, get it off your chest, then you have the recognition of like, yeah, that's not my person, then you move on.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's it.
That is it.
Do you have any thing to share? Any offerings?
No offerings. No. Really. I'm always here for anybody that wants to talk. So I always offer that. So if you want to talk about these things that we have discussed thus far.
These things that must not be named.
Yeah. I'm always here for you. I'd love to be that person that you share things with. You can do that privately, obviously. I'm not going to charge you for anything, unless you want me to. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, holyhealth.mitch. And I got the book face as well, if you want to get on there and find me.
We'll have to link your Facebook down below. I don't think it's linked.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
All right. But yeah, links are down below. That's what she does. She does that stuff.
That's right.
So.
And I'm on Substack writing, and I am on YouTube doing yoga, and I got to get my life together so I can offer more yoga videos, but I haven't done that yet. So those are coming soon. But there is one yoga video every Wednesday, and there is a Substack post every Friday. And with that, if you could share the show with somebody that you think would benefit from hearing it, that would be greatly appreciated and would help us out quite a lot. And we will talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.